A little bit of what we learned with a little bit more Omek. Mirtz Hashem. In Perek Tes Vav, the Nefesh HaChaim says, let's just go over again, Perek Tes Vav, Shar Beis, Perek Tes Vav. B'chol Nafshechem, the Makor of Tefillah, L'Avdai, to Daven to Hashem, b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. It's in the second part of Kriya Shema, not v'yahavta Hashem alakecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha b'chol meyadecha. There's no meyadecha here. It's b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. So the Nefesh HaChaim says, Ashkasa b'chol nafshechem, yadua pluktas chazal b'kamaduchte b'shas. There's a lumdisha halachak machlekes in shas. L'chad mandomer kol pirushei kulay, l'chad mandomer pirushei miksosei v'kolshehu. So this is what we learned, that kol can have two meanings. Interesting, because kol really means kol, totality, complete. Akala is called Akala because she's the tachlis hayofi. Tachlis means ultimate. Klal, kolel, akol. That's what the word kol means. Bakol, mikol, kol, everything. Yet, sometimes kol can mean anything, meaning including every little nekuda. So since it's including every little nekuda, it could also be part. So the Gemara speaks about, let me remind you about the case where 10 people are, a mob is beating up on somebody with 10 makolais. 10 people decide to kill somebody, but 10 makolais with 10 sticks, b'zeh achar zeh. So, they're bezach or zeh. So the question is, the last one gives the death blow. But so according to this machlokes in the Gemara, if he's chayiv or not, because if he would have just given that death blow without the first nine, it wouldn't have been a ritzicha. So every part of him, he didn't kill every part of him, just killed a little bit of him. Or do we say that kol means everything, meaning like is it good enough, so to speak, to kill just a little bit of a person? Does kol mean kol to who? Or do you have to kill a whole person? Okay, I don't want to get into Hilchos Ritzicha again. We spent a lot of time on that. But I want to get into Hilchos Kriya Shema or Hilchos Tefillah. So it says, b'chol nafshechem. So b'chol nafshechem. You have to daven with your whole nefesh and with your whole life. So b'chol nefesh, so says Nefesh HaChaim, that v'chein hu ha'inyan kan, the same thing is here. Shneihem amitim. They're both true. Meaning, ki kama b'chinois u'madregos yesh v'zeh, because there is a lot of madregos in tefillah. Kol adam l'fi koyach taharas libay u'machshavtei she'adam she'koycha yafa b'taras ha'machshava v'akavona. The person is on a very high level and very focused in their machshava and their kavona. Yuchel adabek is kol nafshei, with the kol, which means all of it. It's possible to get to such a thing. It's tzaddik. Migoydol ha'ava va'atshuka lo yisbarach shmai v'chol echad l'fi kocha v'gam l'fi inyan hachonas ta'aris li bayaz. It's according to your koach. It's according to how much you've prepared yourself. And also gamaz lo yikol ha'itim shavais. Depends when. You know, sometimes we're holding, sometimes we're not holding. There has to be some part of it. If you can't do the kol according to the one mandamar, at least do the kol according to the other mandamar. If you can't do all of your nefesh to Hashem, at least do part of your nefesh to Hashem. What does it mean to do part of your nefesh to Hashem? What it means is that the nefesh is, let's call it my personality, right? My needs in life, my nefesh, rifa'enu, give me parnasa, give me shalom, give me das. All, most of the things in Shemoneh Esrei have to do with b'chol nafshechem. So the nafshechem is really when I'm asking for Hashem for das, the call would be that I'm la'avdoi b'chol nafshechem. I'm using my nefesh. I want to use all my das for Hashem. Let's say I can't use all my das for Hashem. I also want to make a living. That's okay, because I'm making a living for Hashem. Let's say I just can't fit it into the Hashem part of my life. I'm just doing something. Just doing it, par of neutral. I'm a porch sitter. right? So that's also madrega, because kol dehu. It's about like from a molecular point of view, every piece of your nefesh is a complete piece of your nefesh. So I asked the question last week on Thursday. This is all fine. And he goes on with that the Milo of Chana was that she was Vasishpoich Kol Nafsha Lifnei Hashem. Kol Nafsha Lifnei Hashem, which probably means the Kol A, one kind of, first kind of Kol. It also says Lav Dei B'chol Vavchem U'v'chol Nafshechem. So why is there no discussion about B'chol Levavchem? That was the question that I asked. In other words, do we say the same thing? Do we say that just like Nafshechem can be divided, L'mechsa, L'shlisha, L'raviyah, can we just say the same thing by Lev, that she can be divided up? And I can't daven with all my Lev, but I can daven with part of my Lev, like we do with part of Nefesh. L'chari, the same kol by Lev can apply by Nefesh, and yet we don't find that. We don't find, not in Nefesh HaChaim, not anywhere that I've looked, that there's any exception to kol, any other pshat in kol levavchem, then you have to daven with your whole heart. And the question is, why? And I made the following distinction, which I'd like to go a little bit deeper into. And that is that we have to make a chiluk between the purpose of the lave and the purpose of the nefesh. It's very important, very lemaisa. The lave is the keli which you're davening with. It's like a shofar is the keli that you're blowing shofar from. If the shofar is not shalom, if it has a hole in it, it's not a shofar. If the lave is not complete, then it's when you're giving somebody, as I said last week, when you're giving somebody undivided, when you're giving somebody divided attention, when you're not giving somebody your undivided attention, you're really not giving them your attention at all. The definition of attention is that I'm paying attention to you. If I'm paying attention to you, I'm not really paying attention to you. You know, as I said, like when you're talking to somebody on the phone, you can always tell when they're answering their WhatsApps while they're talking to you. It's a little spaces there between the syllables. They answer the wrong questions, etc. When you're not 100% concentrated, so then it's not tefillah at all. Let's say like this, that the lave is the actual kli. This is what the Gemara says. Ezu ha'avoida shebelev zu tefillah. What avoida can you do with your lave? You take your lave and you use that to daven. That's the shofar. That's the kli. You can't have a half of a kli or a third of a kli. Imagine you have a cup of water, and it has only a tiny hole in it. It's not a kli. It's not the pshat that we have a shtickle kli. It's better than nothing. I guess it is better than nothing, but it's not really. Depending on the size of the hole, it has nothing. If you're taking a bath and there's no plug into the thing, so you're not taking a bath. It's not. If it doesn't hold water, it doesn't hold water. The lave is the keli of tefillah. So there is no compromise on the shlemus of that kli. The nefesh is not the keli that I'm davening with. It's the part that I'm being mistabik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. So how far am I going in giving in mesiras nefesh? That's the question. You following me? I'm saying it a little bit different than Thursday, but I just want to make it very, very clear, because I spent a lot of time thinking about this. In a sense, it's a matter of degree. You see this for the first parak of Kriya Shema, because it says b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol miyadecha. B'chol levavcha is b'shnei yitzrecha. Your yitzer hara, yitzer atay. B'chol levavcha. Ahavta is when it comes to avas Hashem, or in the second chapter of Kriya Shema, avodas Hashem. B'chol levavcha, b'shnei yitzrecha. Everything has to be there. Everything. Yitzer hara, yitzer atay. When it comes to b'chol nafshecha in the first parak of Kriya Shema, it's afilu noitelas nafshecha. Everybody knows you don't have to die al kiddush Hashem to be mekayim the mitzvah b'chol nafshecha. That's all. If it comes to the ultimate sacrifice, you have to do that. That's not what we're looking necessarily forward to. Rabbi Kiva was looking forward to that type of a thing. But he was also 120. Although he says, Kol yomai hitzdarti al pasuk zeh. So it's ad kedei mesiras nefesh. But in the nefesh, there's ultimately madregas. How much am I willing to give up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a matter of degree. Some people are willing to give up 5 minutes, and some people their life. Some people, same thing with money. How much are you willing to agree? B'chol moidecha. Some people willing to give up a couple of bucks. Some people nothing. Some people meiser. Some people choyvish. Some people b'chol moidecha. Like, what do I have money for? Just for Hashem
but
anyway.
If you're not willing to give up all your life, then does that partial have
that's a good, validity? It's a good question. In other words, b'chol, the kol dehu has to be moir ladati. It's a deep question. On the other kol.
No, I mean, it's the same. Who would give up their life for the Jewish people? The Arabs attack with no more soldiers. Who would go out there? How long do you live for it?
Right.
Are you ready to die for it? Are you ready to live for it?
See,
if you don't have that,
these are hard questions.
Are you really living for it?
Right. If you're not willing to die for something, are you really living for it? To put it on a more Hasidic level, that's the... it was a very interesting experience. I was reading on Shabbos, just looking at a Sefer, and I was reading... it's the Sefer of Chassidus and Meislach. And sometimes you read these stories, you say, okay. sometimes they're very deep, but sometimes it seems silly. So I read a story about the Parmishlaner Rebbe. Parmishlaner Rebbe. Thank you. So he had to take his son for medical care to Germany at one point. And this is a story that had to do with the parsha. So he had to take his son to Germany for medical care. And he insisted, because he was a rebbe from Ishlan, that he fears tish. He has to make a tish on Friday night. So they got people, how do they get people to come to the tish? They made food and cholent, and people came to the tish. But they were not, not only lime de terror, they couldn't care less about anything that he had to say. But he said his Torah, and he said his Miras and his Torah and his Divrei Torah, and all the while that he was saying, they were laughing, and they were talking to each other, and they were talking about him, and, like they were looking at him like a silly old man. Like that's what I got from the story. So his son, who was there at the Tish, said to him that, it's not really right, it's like a bazillion Torah. For you to do, like here he's when he's at home, so the Hasidim come, they stand on bleachers, they're mechabed, here he's out in this in German, which I guess represents enlightenment, and they just didn't, they weren't referring. He's a Bessayin Atar, and he said to his son, he says, you're right, he says, I'll make a tish next week, but remind me not to speak Divrei Torah. It's very hard for me not to do this, it's natural for me to speak Divrei Torah. He said, okay, I'll remind you. So they made the tish, and they made the cholent, and everybody came. And saying a niggin, and then he started to speak Divrei Torah. So the son, it was a job, so he reminded me, he said, Abba, don't forget they're all apokarsim here. So the father, a mayor, right? So he Rebbe Meir, so he, nizdazeya kol gufay. He became very shocked by this statement that they're all apokarsim. And he said, they're not apokarsim. They're not apokarsim. And he said, this is what I have to do with the parsha. Paroi was an apokars. They're not apokarsim. Because these Jews, he said, when everything's fine, they're laughing and they're making litzonos. But if they would be in a situation of serious pain, they would say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You see, Paro had maka after maka after maka, nothing. He couldn't get out the words. Okay.
Ani
Hashem, I spoke about it yesterday. He said, but it took him till borrowed anyways till he said it. But even then, he couldn't internalize it. Apparently, he kept on going. Right? Okay, that's what he says. I was thinking about this. Okay, Paro's an apokar, so it just didn't click with me until I realized that he was actually saying something very deep. I mean, it doesn't need my haskama, but it was, I hopped the omek of it, and the omek is very, it's a simple omek, if you will, and the omek is that if in other words, the Jews here, so they have they had like a sort of a klipa, and we're dealing with the klipa, and it wasn't working. They weren't holding. They weren't in touch, let's say, with the very, very deep part of who they were. And unfortunately, I don't know why it is, but unfortunately it takes some type of a pain or a crisis or a tragedy for a person to consider the very deepest part of who they are. And Paro, at least for a time, although he had this pain and this tragedy, it didn't somehow affect. We don't even know in the fifth Makkah by Barad when he said Hashem HaTzadik, if he was just saying that to get rid of the Makkah. And probably he was just saying it to get rid of the Makkah. At least he said it, but he was saying it to get rid of the Makkah because there had to be a sixth Makkah and a seventh Makkah. And Agav, by the way, this Chassidus Rebbe, the Maral, the Maral says very, very clearly in Gvuras Hashem that each Makkah, a very strong Maral, the Maral says that each Makkah that Mitzrayim had was there to get them to a closer place of their own MS. And the ultimate MS, think about this for a minute, says the Maral, the ultimate MS is your children. Meaning, a lot of times, we'll do things which are not 100% right, we'll do it, but we won't let our children do that. We want our children to eat healthier than us. We want them to take less risks than us. We want our children to be better than us. Right? So the Lashon of the Maral, very interesting Lashon of the Maral. Maral Lashon was Makas Bechoyrois, which was the ultimate Makkah, was Laharois Amitas Atzmam. That's the Lashon of the Maral. The Makas Bechoyrois was there, going Minakal Akash Adam was very outside of them. Svardeya, Kinim, the Makas Bechoyrois should have really touched a deep nerve, because there comes a point where the MS comes out, and that's usually with my child. And that's why Avraham Avinu's ultimate Nisayan was Akedas Yitzchak, the 10th Nisayan. And the Maral talks about Esther being MS Sel Hadavar. Like the ultimate MS is with number 10. And the number 10 was Akedas Yitzchak, according to Moshitas, was the Akedas Yitzchak, because that was Amitas Atzmai. Okay, Avram, you're willing to give up everything, but are you willing to give up your son for what you believe? So we saw it. I always mention this because to me it was a very profound, sad, hard to talk about thing. But I saw so many people that there was some didactic, like you don't judge people that went through the Holocaust and things like that. But that's who I grew up with. Like the generation above me was that's who I grew up with. And some of them were so makbid on everything. If somebody would pronounce something wrong, they'd scream at them. If they would do something wrong, they'd yell at them. A lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, a lot of criticism. And their kids were marrying goyim. Now, the pashut upshot in that was that, what do you expect? You scream and yell at them all the time. They're not going to have much of an ahava for warmth for Yiddishkeit. All it represented to them was herring, schnapps, and getting screamed at and hit. Like that was the whole. But there was another thing there that it didn't seem to bother some of these people that their kids were marrying goyim as much as it bothered them that somebody wasn't holding their feet together by kedusha. I always wondered about that. I'm not judging them, but I always wondered about them. But it could be that deep in their heart they were feeling, look, we went through such sorrows. Because we were Jewish, and somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm thinking if they assimilate and they go that way, okay, at least they won't be thrown into a gas chamber. Maybe that was what it was, but there was again. So I'm not judging anybody that goes through that. I'll tadnas chaverish tagilim koymai, and as my own grandfather used to say, al tagilim koymai, don't go there. What I am saying, I'm trying to illustrate that the Akeda was a Midas Atzmai, and what the Rameyer, the Rebbe Rameyer was saying here is that there is an ultimate place within a person which is not an Apokaris, and that's okay. In other words, as long as there's that little place, and that's the Bechol Nafshechem, I think that the Kol Dehu, As long as there's a kol dehu, it's somehow something. It'll get there. You can't call it like Paro. Paro was an apokaris. That was his word. Paro, deep. I don't even know what happened. Even after Makkos Bechoris, he went and ran after the Jews. So it just weren't able to anesthetize this guy. he just couldn't get to that to the nerve. It was just like an interesting thing. But that's of course the limud of the whole parsha. So back to the point. We said b'chol levavchem uv'chol nafshechem. So nefesh can be divided and lev can't be divided. I walked out unsatisfied with myself as to why really the lev can't be divided. I could understand that a cup with a hole is not a cup at all, and Hashem is putting or into our lave, and if the lave is not holding it completely, then the or is escaping. I can understand the words, but I was trying to understand the essence of why the lave can't be divided. And on Shabbos, in fact, I mentioned this on Friday night just a little bit, but you know, this is the Tal Lechaim, the Chalban. It's a very, very beautiful sefer, contemporary. On Anna B'Choyach, it's called the Chalban because he's a milkman, and he has a milk factory in the center of Israel, and he's a mekubel. Rav Chaim Kohn, HaChalban, says right. So this particular sefer, which I think is the best, out of his many, many swarms, is on the tefillah of Anna B'Choyach. The whole sefer is on the tefillah Anna B'Choyach, which is written by Rav Nachunya ben Akona. And at the end of the tefillah, it says, Shavaseinu kabel ushma tzakoseinu yodeya talumais Baruch Shem kivoyin malchusei li'olam v'ed, which is part of the tefillah. The reason why we say Baruch Shem kivoyin malchusei is that in your siddur you'll see all the abbreviations next to the Anna B'Choach, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and that is the Shem HaMefarish, that according to the Mekubalim, that those letters make up the Shem HaMefarish, so you don't say that part, you just look at it.
I thought we didn't know this anymore.
We don't know how to pronounce it. And the Mekubalim knew the Oisius of the Shem HaMefarish, and that is the Shem HaMefarish, according to the Mekubalim. The Rambam says the Shem HaMefarish is Yudkei Vavkei, as the Rambam says. But that's the Shem, and the Anna B'Choyach was taking the letters of, I don't even know if it's the right order. I don't know, but that's just me, I don't know. But the Rav Nachunya ben Akana took the letters, living in a very difficult time, Rav Nachunya ben Akana, of the Asar, Rogei Malchus, he took the letters of the Shema Mefarish and he wrote the Anna B'Choyach. And every word is from a Tana, it's like a Mishnah. It's like a Mishnah. So there at the end he says, Shavaseinu kabel, Ushma tzakoseinu. By Shavaseinu, a Shava, we're asking Hashem for Kabbalah, to be Mekabel. Accept it. By a Tzaka, when we're screaming, and Chazal say in a number of places, Ein bein Tzaka v'Zaka klum, it's just the same word. Tzaka and Zaka, sometimes it's Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael. It's the same thing. Tzakoseinu, Shavaseinu kabel ushma tzakoseinu. That has to be a shmia. But here the Chalban, I just want to try to give you a couple of highlights, which I didn't do on Friday night. He says here, I'm skipping around, but very interesting, but for in Yoneinu. He says, first of all, screaming is an interesting thing. Needs to be analyzed. I want to add to something, even before I said something, I'm adding it already before even said what he said. There's good screaming, there's bad screaming. There's a makkah of kas, where a person, meltdown. You lose it, and you start screaming. So what's that all about? What is it? You're screaming. You find poor people screaming when they're angry than screaming when they're davening, unless you're a breastliver. This is screaming. What is that? Screaming. Tzaka. And a person gets hit or hurt or something, a pagan, you know, ouch. So it comes with a scream, usually. So he says, Hasiba pnimis l'kach shebeshosha chosha adam muaka, if a person feels a certain pain, who misayra litzik, he certainly screams. Madua kachut ba menefesh hanushis. Why is that the nature of a person? Laman lo yitzak adam dafke bezman she'edam b'mitzuka. Why don't you stop screaming? Why are we screaming when we're suffering? Ilu b'mitzuka yaloichesh. You would think, anyway, that the correct response, if you're really willing to analyze it, the correct response to sudden pain would be to be quiet, silenced. Which was, interestingly, the response of Aaron HaKohen, right? Yidoim Aaron, he didn't start screaming. Probably psychologists would talk about it being as a catharsis, right? Like you're screaming, you're letting out, which is... Masoid skulas tchuna... Nafshizu, what is the screaming all about? Litzayk b'shashi itztabru, the pshat is a tza'aka. Tza'aka is b'shashi itztabru b'nefesh u'b'lev. Rigshayis v'koychayis rabim v'hem chasumim v'goyashim. There's a buildup of all kinds of things that are going on inside of me. All kinds of feelings. Ain't that when a person screams, it's mikoich masherinu sha'atzaka nagas beguf boifen amoik. It means that something touched me very, very deep inside, if I'm screaming. Mina'eres u'ma'oireres, I say, it moves me, it awakens me. V'lechen yechoy lifol boi esbulosa atoiva, mohetzi es ha'tamun va'akoloi b'imkei ha'lev. A scream is when the deepest part of inside of us, which is usually controlled, is uncontrollable, and it comes out. There probably is no superficial scream. I mean, I suppose we could scream, but it's just talk. That's just making loud noises. But a tza'aka, when the Torah talks about tza'aka, vayitza'aku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, it means to say that it was an overflow of the deepest part of us that was coming out as a sort of a tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And my parenthesis is, when a person is, in the non-Torah world, tzaka is ugly. You know, it comes with four-letter words. It comes with anger. It comes with violence. Now the nicker, b'kisoy, b'kasoy, b'koisoy. What does that mean? Those bringing out the deepest part of me. So, you see a person angry, a person is violent, a person is saying things, you know, the sight of all the four-letter words are things that you wouldn't do barabim. it's something which is tamun. You don't have to go through it all in your head, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that it's something which is tamun, amok belibo, and I'm letting that out. That's what kas is. So all the negativity, which is very, very deep inside of me, uncontrolled. Now the question is, of course, with that, what's the correct way to deal with it? Do you deal with the control or do you deal with the negativity? It would seem logical, if you can, to deal with the negativity itself. But let's say it's a scream of ahava, or it's a scream of tefillah. So those screams are actually good screams, because what's happening there is that the what's very, very deep inside of me is coming out. And then he says, let me just quote the Zohar, but here's the key thing that I wanted to. Yisoid ha'inyin hu, just excuse me for the reading, but it's such beautiful words, I can't do it better than him. Yisoid ha'inyin hu, here's the fundamental principle. Sha'atzaka novas mamish me'omek ha'lev. When we talk about tzaka, it's coming from the deepest part in the heart. Kifisha hu. B'li levushim, b'li hastarais. There's no filters here. There's no filters. There's no nothing muting it. Kedei lehavin, to understand this, we have to understand tefillah itself, he says. Ikra tefillah hu b'mamake alev. What is the main part of tefillah? Not the talking, blah, 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 blah. That's all fine. It's like, you know, talking is not davening. Talking is the expression of tefillah. The tefillah is here, and the talking comes out. If you talk, and you know there's no lev involved, it's like you know, like anybody could write a check for $1 million without any money in the bank. It's nice to write a check for $1 million to tzedakah, but only nice if there's something to cover it. Otherwise, it's a sheker. So he says, "Ikar ha'tefilah hibu mamake alev." The real place, the seat of tefillah, is in the lev. This is the. Let's underline this. Halev minakudas haratzayin hapnimis, and this to me is an eye opener. The lev is the place of the nakudas haratzayin hapnimis. Please hold that phrase in the air because I want to get back to it. Nakudas haratzayin hapnimis. What do I really want? That's what the lev is. You see, I said on Thursday, perhaps mistakenly or superficially, that chol levavcha is I have to give you all my attention. No. I have to give you all my ratzon. All my ratzon. That's a whole different story. Kafi shelimadnu chachomim, when the Gemara says, shatvila avodah shebelev, kamer lov avdoi b'chol levavcha, ezu avodah shebelev, hava omer zutvila. The Gemara in Tainus tells us, ezu avodah shebelev zutvila. So we see the place for davening is with the lev. Iker nekudas hadvekis vayiskasher shalonu b'Hashem yisparach, where we are connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only with my lave. The dibur is a side thing. That's a halacha. But the tefillah itself is in the lave. Do you understand this? This is an important thing. Shehi, why the lave? Shehi nekudas haratzah in hapnimis. Because that's where the ratzah in hapnimis is, the real ratzah. Because the whole mahus of tefillah is to have dveikus pnimis, shoritzoneinu. In other words, we're hooking up our ratzon with Hashem's ratzon. B'pniyah tahir v'atzmis alavino shebashamayim. Ella, what's the problem? Sha'aratzon hapnimi belev doresh birur litush v'gilui. Ratzon is crude. It needs to be polished. It needs to be clarified. It needs to be articulated. It needs to be revealed. People don't even know what they want. You know, I think if you're really a rebbe, like you get to know what a person's real ratzon is. And if you're not a rebbe, if you really want to be like Rameir Parmish. If you want to be able to, you have to be able to see what's really, really going on in the ratzon of a person in order to be makar of them. But that ratzon needs birur litush gilui azois anu oisim bam zois kliat dibur. That's what the dibur is for. The dibur, Nefesh HaChaim says later, it's like when you check a sakin. So when you check a shoichet, has to have a knife which is completely smooth. So Nefesh HaChaim says in Shar Gimel that how do you know if it's completely smooth? You take your tziporen, your fingernail, and you don't want to use your finger because you'll lose it. You can take your fingernail and rub it along, and if you feel any bump at all, it's not a good sakin. So the Nefesh HaChaim says that that's what the tongue does for the lathe.
Am I articulating my ratzon?
I understand this. Sometimes we all have, like some really deep thoughts, and then when you go to say it, it doesn't hold any water at all. Like, you have a very strong feeling, a strong thought. That's the advantage of having a chavrusa or giving a shir. Speaking it out. So that's what he's talking about in Shar Gimel and Shar Dalet. But it's the same thing with tefillah. It's very unpolished and it's very rough and it's very, until you articulate it, it doesn't have any shape. So when I'm speaking, that's what dibur is for. You don't have to necessarily hear the dibur. Certainly nobody else has to hear the dibur. But the fact that even I'm moving my lips is an articulation of what's going on deep in my life. But it shouldn't be confused with this being the tefillah instead of this being the tefillah. The tefillah is here. That's his beautiful lashon, a birur, a litush, and a gilui. As zos anu osim bem sos kli adibur, hapoyle mikoyach hadas, hamachshova, I want to use my lips for this. You see why by Chazar Sashatz, you don't have to say anything because you've already articulated it. This is why the Navi said over and over again that, you know, I don't need tefillah's peh. I don't need even karbanos. Lama li roiv zivichechem. Belibam bal imam, and there's no lev involved because it's not a tefillah. So a tefillah requires a ratzon.
What is it?
A tzaka is something that's coming from my lave and skipping the articulation of my lips. That's what a tzaka is. So he says,
bypassing machshava?
Bypassing everything. But matzav zeh, I'm skipping all of this, but matzav zeh paretzes a tzaka, kol pashut, it's sound without words. Bli chituch milim, bli diburim, bli machshava. El ach v'rak zakas halev ba'atzva. That is a sound of the lave without any brains in it, without any
filter.
Yeah, filter or articulation or shape. The sound of my heart. A tzaka is the sound of my heart. Now you better make sure it's your heart's good, because out can come tremendous kedusha, or out can come tremendous tumma. You can fake things when it's your dibur, but you can't fake your heart. This is bypassing the machshava. So what it is, and you'll hear what a person is. Adam niker, as you say, bekisoy, interesting, b'chol moedecha, bekasoy, ubekoisoy.
The Rav has a piece on tikkia shofar, and it says this.
At the end of Ne'ilah, he speaks of. Yeah, I couldn't articulate it, so yeah. But that's what he says. Ela ach v'rak zakas halev ba'atzmei b'lui levushim klau. Zois ha'tvila ha'gdoyla b'yoysher v'dugmas tekiya shofar hi. Kol poshet b'lui levushim klau. That's what tekiya shofar is.
But our normal mode of tefillah is not that. Zaka is one of the terms of tefillah. Centered around words all the time.
Right. That's why we're taught. But the words, it's like, now we're a grown-up. So the words, teaching people to say words, what are you going to teach a kid? Teaching people to say words is like teaching them to write checks. It's that's a good habit, I suppose. It's a good habit, but ultimately, if it's not covered, it's not tefillah. Just before we end, I want to get back to this, the main point that I want to bring out, that the lave is not your attention, it's your ratzon. Ratzon, let's just like lose all the psukim for a minute, everything, let's lose it. Like, what does it mean? What does it mean? So, like you ask a person, you know, what's your ratzon? Yeah, I want a cup of coffee. Well, how deep is that? I mean, you do want a cup of coffee, but why? You know, why? Well, because I want to be awake, but why? I feel more alive, but why? And if you keep on going, why, then that's a Moroccan soccer. why? The why takes you from one place to a deeper place, to a deeper place, to a deeper place, to the ultimate rutzin of a person. And that ratzon is echad. It's not necessarily for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm not saying it is. But as opposed to the nefesh, which how much am I willing to give up, and it could be a matter of degree, kol or kol dehu, you only have one ratzon pnimi. And then a lot of ratzonos in between. So b'chol levavcha is b'chol ratzonecha. And b'chol ratzonecha, Chazal and their genius told us, has to include both the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov. So we're talking about, like, if you're looking at a tree, you know, like a computer tree, it's b'chol levavcha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol yitzrecha, Yetzer Hara, Yetzer HaTov, but the Yetzer Hara, Yetzer HaTov are also poyalim laman the ratzon ha'amasers. There's the root here. And the root anything you're building, the root is the Ratzon HaPnimi. So that Ratzon HaPnimi, like this is where Chazal say, ultimately, Ein Davar Oymed Mipnei HaRatzon. You see, if we could affect our own Ratzon, certainly if we could affect other people's Ratzon HaPnimi, everything else will happen automatically. I think it's the essence of chinuch. I don't think the essence of chinuch is to teach kids how to... I mean, of course, you have to give them the tools of how to read and how to daven. But I think that the ultimate inyan is the ratzon. And this is where the morale comes back. Like, a lot of this will depend on what your real ratzon is. You know, what do you really want for your child? Want to be a doctor? I mean, yes. But that's not my real ratzon. There's a deeper ratzon. And you can see it. That ratzon, if it's your ratzon and the child's ratzon, for instance, v'shinantam levonecha, take the ratzon and give it over to your children, v'shinantam levonecha, v'dibarta bam, is the next level. It will be correct. It will be correct. The thing to be bodek here is the ratzon, and the ratzon comes out with tzaaka. So the tzaaka is a non-articulated response of the lave, and the definition of lave is the ratzon hapnimi. B'chol avavcha means b'chol ratzoni. So as opposed to nefesh, which could be, okay, am I willing to give up my finger, my head, my heart? What am I willing to give up? Chol nafshecha filu noitulis nafshecha. Chol avavcha is apparently, this is what we're learning here. You really only have one real ratzon. If you keep on going deeper and deeper into the why, there's really only one real ratzon, and that's the nekuda that you're davening with. That's what's amazing, because you got to go deeper and deeper and deeper until you can get to a point. And tzaka is a very deep tefillah, because tzaka is not a correct tefillah, but it's a real tefillah in the sense that it's the lave without any levushim. That's not the way we're supposed to daven. You're supposed to articulate it, because otherwise it's crude. But it's the ultimate tefillah, and he writes here, the only thing deeper than tzaka is dima. Dima are tears. And dima is even deeper than tzaka because it's silent. It doesn't even articulate itself in a sound at all. So it's and that's why Shari Demois Leininalu. Shadima el yoina yoiser meat tzaka. Goes to your eyes, dima, bypassing the mouth. There's a new chart, like trace your tears. I don't know how crocodiles cry, but I do know that when people cry, it's what's happening is that your heart has a feeling, and usually that feeling gets completely filtered by your brain and by your articulation and by your intelligence and by your all kinds of things until you can't even cry. A baby doesn't have all those things, so hungry cries. So dima is a very, very childlike, if you will, expression. I remember Reb Shlomo Brevda, Olav Shalom, I remember him telling me that when he was a young bacher, he came to Eretz Yisrael and was a very young person. He was one of the close first Talmidim that worked. There was the Briskerov, and then there was Reb Beryl Soloveitchik and Reb David Soloveitchik. And the Briskerov was the real yeshiva. And Reb Beryl Soloveitchik, so he sent like a few young Talmidim to Reb Beryl Soloveitchik. I learned by Reb Beryl Soloveitchik, but this was at the very beginning of Reb Beryl Soloveitchik, the younger man. And in that yeshiva, he was there for, came out of Yom Kippur. When he was there Yom Kippur, so he said that like by Ne'ilah, everybody was crying. The whole yeshiva, everybody was crying. And he was very upset at himself because he wasn't crying. Like what's wrong with me? So he said, I felt like, I remember his language that he said, I felt like an eisgetrunkene Limon, like a completely squeezed out lemon. dried up. You know, completely dry, completely squeezed, nothing to cry. And he said that when it came to when the Chazan said, "Sim di maisenu minoid liyos," take our tears and put them in a special keli next to the kisei hakavod. So he started crying. He said, but he wasn't crying because he was crying. He was crying because he wasn't crying. Al Eila ni Bechia, that the Bechia wasn't there, and he felt, but he was crying because he felt that, he told me this, he was crying because he felt that his neshama, or his lev, was not either there, or it wasn't able to bypass all of the mechanisms which are there to stop one from crying, because it's not the grown-up in Western to cry in public. So we have all these intellectual things. We're not babies. We don't cry. It's a fascinating thing. You know, I'm no Rebbe at all, but people do come and talk to me about all kinds of things. And at the strangest times, having nothing to do with anything, men, women, they just burst out into tears. It's a little awkward for me because I'm not a professional rabbi. But it's such an interesting thing. I could wait patiently, but it's such an interesting thing that when you least expect it, somehow or another, but that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point, because expecting it has to do with my machshava, their machshava, my dibur, their dibur. That's exactly the point. But there's something going on which is way in a different realm than anything that I have anything to do with, and it's bringing out dima. And dima is the holiest thing, because it's mamish like the lev atzmai. So holier than dima, holier than tzaka is even dima. So what's happening over here? So therefore, sharei demoy slinginalu, the tefillah b'dima is a tefillah b'dima. But the nekuda here is this, just to sum it up in one sentence, that the chiddush here is that b'chol avavcha means b'chol ritzonecha apnimi. That's what it means. It means the ratzon. It means a person has to get to the deepest part of their ratzon. Daven with that, and then bring it up through the channels, which is perek tes vav of nefesh ha'chaim, ha'is kashrus. It's the parak of Iskashers. How do you get from the lave all the way through and be makasher all the different parts of who you are, the machshava, the dibur, the maisa, the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama? How do you get it all together to bring it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu going from my lave? But what we need to remember is, before you even start the hitkashrut, is that the whole tefillah is not belave. Not that you have to have lave when you're davening. Does it does? The tefillah is belayv. Now, what do I do with that belayv? And once in a while, if there's a tzaka, or if there's, and the Zohar says tzaka is good, dima is good, za'aka is good, shava is good, anocha is not good. That's very interesting. Anocha is not good. Ve'yeyonchu b'nei Yisrael, anocha is not good. Krechs is not good. G'dayla anocha she'veres kol gufay shel adam. L'chori, that's negative. Sheveris kol gufa shel adam. So one day he heard our shava. Batal shavasa mel Hashem. He didn't hear. That's what the Zohar says, that we had anacha, but batal shavasa mel Hashem. What worked was the shava, and so we were saying sakoseinu shma, shavaseinu shma, shavaseinu. Kabel ushma tzakoseinu. Shavoseinu kabel words. Ushma tzakoseinu. But what we want you to really hear is the za'aka. So the taich here is the rutzen hapnimi shibalev.
You can learn that from Hannah.
She said so. Nafshi shafcha kol v'shafachti kol nafshi lifnei Hashem. One second.